Hello, welcome to another episode of the Hope Motivates Action podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Recknell, and it is my pleasure to have Darby Young here with us today. Hello, Darby.
Hello, Lindsay. Thanks so much for having me.
I am so pumped to have you here today. It is our second podcast interview together. I was lucky enough to have you on the Mental Health in Minutes podcast as well, but I am super excited for people to hear your story of resilience and how you have used hope to motivate action. I will read your formal bio and let people know a little bit more about you, and then pass it over to you to tell us your story.
Sure.
Darby Lee Young is a former para-alpine ski racer who was born with mild cerebral palsy and a passion for removing barriers. She created Level Playing Field in November 2015 to mitigate the barriers she faces every day. As the principal accessibility strategist, Darby works with architects, designers, property owners, facilities management, and all those kinds of people to ensure spaces are universally accessible. Darby is a well-known public speaker and has been very active in the community. She's been volunteering with Hockey Canada since 2010 and served as the co-chair on the City of Calgary's Advisory Committee on Accessibility from 2011-2015. She also represented the City of Calgary at the International Summit on Accessibility. She was recently named the top 25 women of influence and has a shoe line named after her called the Darby Fellowship by John Fluvog. I'm excited to hear more about that story in this episode. Darby, it is a pleasure to have you here, and I would love for you to tell our listeners how you use hope to motivate action in your life.
Thanks, Lindsay. It's so great to chat with you again for a second time, for sure. It's always fun when we have these conversations. I think, you know, for me, the biggest thing is being a person with a disability. And having to look at different ways to get around every day, I just try to be my best self and try to figure out ways. And when there becomes barriers, I definitely try to tackle them and figure out ways to take them down instead of just being like, okay, well, I can't do this today, you know, or I can't get this place. Who cares? I actually like try to actually mitigate that and try and remove it so that somebody else doesn't actually go through the same problems or receive the same barriers I have, because a lot of the times we've learned that people with disabilities sometimes don't necessarily speak up, where some of us can be quite vocal, like myself. But it's an interesting one, because I try to live my best self and I try to help my friends. And I've been in numerous scenarios where I wish I had people on the sidelines for different events, or cheerleaders, I should say, when I say sidelines, for different things. Like, as much as my parents have always been around, it's also not fun when I was a former para-alpine ski racer, when I'd cross the finish line and nobody was there but my teammates. That's not fun. So I've tried to make it so that when my friends do events and stuff like that, or go to games or hockey or whatever it is, I'm always there on the sidelines cheering, because I know what that feels like. Sort of like the same thing with accessibility. When there's a barrier, I try to break it down so that somebody with a disability doesn't have to do that when they come around. It doesn't always work, but I definitely try. And I think, you know, like you alluded to when it came to my Fluvog shoes, that was a huge thing. Because of how I drag my feet, for those that have seen me walk, or for those that haven't seen me walk, I walk with character. Can't really walk very far anymore. My legs have definitely gotten worse over the last couple of years, and we don't know why. I'm not going to lie. We don't know why. But when I do walk, because I drag my toes and, you know, either fall flat on my face or I fall backwards and turtle, as I call it, because my nickname is Turtle, because a lot of the times I'll just lose my balance and fall backwards with my feet and arms in the air. So I went to Fluwag and said, I have these favorite shoes and I most definitely love wearing them, but I've worn them out because I drag my feet. How do we fix this? And the Calgary store kind of looked at us and went, well, we can try. They sent it to the cobbler. Cobbler came back and said, not possible. And then they said, well, reach out to Vancouver to headquarters and see. And so I did. And then about 6 months later, John Flubog's daughter, Allison, actually contacted me directly and said, this is wild. Like, this is an incredible story. We can't fix those, but how about we make you a pair instead? And I was just like flabbergasted because if anybody knows, like John Flubog's a world-renowned international shoe designer. They're not just, you know, your Payless shoes. So it was fun on that aspect, on the fact that we chatted numerous times. It took them about a year and a half to 2 years to get them done, just because of how they work in production. We came out with two colors just prior to COVID in February last year. And then they were so popular, and also I think the media aspect helped as well, that they outsold themselves like twice over. And that for the fall, they came out with two more colors. Same thing, those keep outselling themselves. And then they came out with a new pink color for spring and for this year. And now I'm waiting to see if we get more this summer for fall or not. It all depends on sales. And people are really supporting them and sharing the stories of the Derby. And I think for me, my mom always taught me that if people are going to stare, I'm going to look good, which is why when people stare, it's usually because I'm walking a little funny and they're looking down going, what's going on there? And so might as well have a fancy pair of shoes on my feet. And so I have, now five colors from Fluwag that we use or have, and we'll be interested to see. And it's really fun to see people wear these shoes and be like, I bought these, and tag Fluwag Derby and say how they give them, you know, inspiration to write a book is one of them. There's a Canadian writer, who sent a message saying the red Fluwags, the red Derbies have given her inspiration to write her latest novel. So it's definitely interesting to see where people are picking up on it and they're loving the story, which is great. It's definitely opened the door to people understanding that persons with disabilities have rights and are equal members of society compared to being second-class citizens, as a lot of the times persons with disabilities are.
I don't even know where to start with that incredible story. From like the confidence with which you speak, the confidence with which you use your hope and action, the things, I mean, you solve problems for yourself, for your, you know, your friends, you're making a difference in the world and encouraging others to take action on their own hope. I don't even know. That was an incredible story. What a very, very cool. Darby, you are an incredible human. I love it. Where do you get your confidence from? Where do you get your sort of desire to keep on going? Do you know?
I would think probably like from my parents, especially my mother, who's a successful businesswoman in the city of Calgary. I definitely think it's from that, but I also think it's too from my friends. Because my friends are the big driving force behind, you know, keeping level playing field, keeping me sane. Especially in COVID, where we haven't done anything, like I haven't been in a hockey rink in over a year. It's scary, for those that know me well enough. But I think you know, I think the biggest thing is just because if I don't do it, who will? Because there's a lot of people, like I said earlier, there's a lot of people with disabilities that either don't speak up, one, because they don't know how, or they're afraid to because they're afraid of ramifications for if they do. And I really don't care. So if I can't get into somewhere, yeah, I'm going to make noise about it, but I'm also going to try and come up with the recommendations on how to fix it versus, well, that doesn't work. Well, that doesn't help anybody. You can get all angry and be like, that doesn't work. Well, but why? So I try to be that way of being creative.
Why is it so important to speak out?
Just because there are people that just don't have the knowledge of how to do it or don't know who to contact. So when there is somebody like myself who's got the resources and the capabilities of phoning people up and asking what's going on, that's the biggest thing, because I've even done it when I was younger, where we'd come up to things and be like, well, that can't get in there. Okay, whatever. And then leave. And so then the next person would show up and have the same thing. And if we just keep doing that, then places aren't going to learn either, because one, they might not know the clientele they're missing, or they do know, but nobody's made a formal complaint in order to make that change.
And you can't make change unless people start to talk about it and to educate and to, you know, raise awareness of what may or may not be super self-evident unless it's affecting you personally, right? There's one of the coolest parts about, you know, the last couple of years is I feel like mental and physical health is so personal to all of us right now. And it's giving us opportunity to have conversations like this and to be able to make change, because people seem to be more open to those kinds of conversations these days. Have you experienced that at all?
Well, I definitely think, and oddly, not oddly, but I don't know how to say it politically correct. The Black Lives Matter movement has definitely opened the doors for persons with disabilities, because as much as we've got the Black Lives Matters, we've dealt with that all our lives as persons with disabilities. So now it's kind of like, and lately my phone's ringing off the hook from corporations federally, provincially, like everywhere, of going, uh-oh, we need to look at our workspace because we haven't really hired persons with disabilities. Well, no, you haven't. Because we're not seen, you know, as equal members of society, where this whole Black Lives Matter, George Floyd, like all this Breonna Taylor stuff that happened really opened the door to having people look at how they treat others and how we ramification or deal with that has made a bigger impact, I would say worldwide or North American wide for sure, where corporations are looking, where individuals are looking, where conversations are now like, that happened. Oh, that actually probably happens to you, doesn't it? Yes. I might not be Black, but I walk funny. So I get treated differently. And it's kind of funny. I always tell the story of, I had a pretty woman moment where everybody, I'm sure, knows the movie Pretty Woman with Julia Roberts, where I went into a store in Calgary, not going to name it, doesn't matter, but I was on my scooter and I wouldn't get any service because they felt, because I was on my scooter, that I didn't have the money to be in that store. So then I went to a different store, which was actually a lot more expensive. Bought a couple tops because I needed clothes and wanted to look good because, you know, people stare. So I went and bought a couple more and went back to the store and went, okay, so you didn't want to help me, but they sure took my money, and then turned around and left. And yeah, so I think, you know, it's sad. Don't get me wrong. This whole George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, like all this is absolutely horrifying. But I think a lot of us knew it was actually happening to begin with. And it just brought it to light. And now it's making everybody think differently.
It's raising our collective awareness, right? It's giving us that space, almost that permission to have conversations that were uncomfortable before, people didn't want to have. I love that part. I mean, we should have been talking about it. And I'm glad that we are now. You know, someone said to me a number of years ago, and I've referenced this a lot in the last little while, actually, she said, don't be sorry, just be better. You know, like the word sorry gets you to a place of, you know, begging forgiveness or appreciating your actions, but don't just be sorry, actually be better. Once you know better, do better. And I love that.
That's completely true. And especially as Canadians, we say sorry a lot. So yeah, it's sort of like that. That goes back to like, if I run into a barrier, instead of just being like, ah, great, here we go again, and then leaving it for somebody else to do. It's like, no, I know that can be removed, or we can make somebody else's life better. So let me fix that, you know, or at least have the conversations to try and push it to be better.
When I say the words hope to you, what does that mean?
Well, when I think of hope, you know, I think of like outlook on life. I think of who can help me get through life, like day to day, like friends and family, like who keeps me sane during COVID, who keeps me laughing. Who goes with me to places or not when need be, pre-COVID, not in COVID. But I think hope to me means that you've got a support system and that you're looking past barriers, whether it be physical or emotional, and you've got the support system.
I mean, you're making my job very easy for me because one of the theories within the science of hope as a field of study within positive psychology is this concept of hope theory. And it's three parts. So goals, obvious, clear what goals are, which plus agency thinking, which is our intrinsic motivation for doing the things, for accomplishing the goals, plus pathways thinking, which is our ability to overcome the obstacles and barriers that get in our way. So you are living hope theory without, you know, knowing the language that we use within the science, but, you know, it proves how hopeful a person I see you to be, you know, and the whole reason that I wanted to have this conversation is because you were very intentional about taking action to overcome those barriers and obstacles. And not only because it's good for you, but because it's going to benefit so many other people who may not have the confidence or courage to speak up. And you will use your voice to do that for them. And I think that's very, very cool. Very, very cool.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing. And like I said, when I go back to the ski racing aspect, I've crossed the finish line when nobody's there. And I'll tell you right now, that is not a fun feeling. As much as, yeah, your teammates are there, it's not a fun feeling. So you look at the NBA, you look at the NHL, you look at tennis, you look at all the sporting events and all these athletes that are playing games and have no fans in the stands. Yeah, some of the Americans are now allowing fans. But if we look back to even the start of COVID or the start of the season, there wasn't people there. That's not a fun feeling for anybody, whether it's a physical barrier or a sports barrier, to cross the finish line and just see your teammates that you see every day and not actually see friends or family there cheering for you like cheerleaders. Yeah. So it's the matter of, you know, trying to solve that problem or at least support each other each and every way. And that's why I've always said to my friends, whether they're coaching, whether they're playing, that if there's a game, I'm going to be there. If it's midget hockey or it's the U16, I should say, because we've changed the names of our junior hockey programs. If it's, you know, U16, U18, or it's our NHL guys and there's a game, I'm going to be there because I know the feeling of not having anyone there.
How important has sport been in your life?
Oh, massive, massive. Like my father's a former goalie in hockey. So I have grown up on the sports side of things, just my father being heavily involved in Hockey Canada. And then of course I did the ski racing and the ski racing went quite well for a few years. And then I retired, which was a good thing. Well, had to, my knees weren't holding up. So I know nothing different than hockey in the winter and chuck wagon and stampede and rodeo stuff in the summer, and tennis. But for me, like, if it wasn't for the sports and getting involved in the sports as a person with a disability, I don't know where I'd be, because you learn how to be a teammate. You learn that communication skills. You learn the independence. Because, well, when you're a ski racer, you're on your own. As much as you're on a ski team, it's up to you to finish that, cross that finish line. I always push. That's one thing when I talk to new parents of individuals with disabilities, with children with disabilities, is to push them and say, get your kids involved in sports. Whether it's one sport, like, you don't have to do a million sports, but get them in that regular routine of being in a team atmosphere and learning how to play as a team. And as a person with disabilities, it brings you joy because there's also people around and you're learning life skills.
Community feels like it's such a huge part of your life, whether it's a community around your sports team, a community with your friends and family, and even in your workplace. I feel like a lot of your success and drive and motivation comes from those that you surround yourself with. Do you recognize hope in other people? Are you intentional about the people that you surround yourself with because of their characteristics?
Oh, most definitely. You know, now that you've said it, I've never really ever looked at it, but 100%, because everybody brings something different or unique to the table. And like you said, like my friends and family are key. They're friends and family, like they're key to my business. They're key to my everyday life. And it takes a village to raise us, you know, whether it's personal or work. Like, you can't get through life without being in a village. And I think too, they definitely, you know, now that you've said it, it definitely comes out. And I can see it in my staff and I can see it in a lot of my close friends and family. Because yeah, we're all drawn to each other depending on the personalities for sure, but also the work ethic and the way to make lives better, basically.
Yeah, when you have that common, I guess that common drive or that common interest towards creating a future better than today, you can lift yourselves up and motivate each other and keep that agency going when you're surrounded by like-minded but complementary kind of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, I can't even believe it, but reaching the end of our time together. Tell me, Darby, what gives you hope?
I think just being able to laugh. I think being able to have fun with friends and family and making a difference in people's lives so that people just can actually enjoy life and not have to worry about what it's going to be like when they go somewhere.
You are definitely making a difference in all sorts of people's lives, whether it's just with yourself and your personality and your character and the ways that you are standing up for others, or through your business where you're doing more bigger picture, grander impact kind of approaches to accessibility. You are doing some incredible things and you look damn good doing it in those fancy Fluvog shoes with your, what did you call your walk? Your,
I walk with character.
Yes, you walk with character. So anyone, make sure you notice Darby's shoes when you're out there and you are being in her community. It has been an absolute pleasure having a conversation with you this morning, Darby. Thank you so much for being here and sharing your story with us. It has been awesome.
Thanks, Lindsay, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Take care. I hope you enjoyed this latest episode of the Hope Motivates Action podcast. These episodes are a labor of love. Inspiring conversations with hopeful people make my heart happy. If you also love this episode, it would be amazing if you could go to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. 5 stars if you're into it. It's these reviews that encourage Apple to promote this podcast to their network. And the more people that listen, the more hope we can spread into the world. Don't forget to check out the show notes of this episode to find all the links to my guests, books, and other resources referenced in this episode. You'll also find the link back to my website where you will find additional support and resources for you, your team, and your community. I truly believe that the future will be better than today by taking action over the things we can control. And hearing from these guests on these episodes, I know that even more hopeful future is totally possible. I'm always looking for inspirational guests, so if you or anyone you know would like to be a guest on the show, please reach out. You can find me on the contact form of my website at expertinhope.com or by email at lindsay@expertinhope.com. When I was a teenager and my sisters were leaving the house to go out for the night, I always made it a point to remind them to call me if they need me. It was my way to tell them that I cared and would always be there for them. I'd love you to know the same, so all of you listening out there, call me if you need me. Again, thank you for your love and support of this podcast, my work in hope, and your intentional focus on making your future better than today. After all, hope without action is just a wish.